Today's reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Great. Thanks so much for reading, Jody, and it's great to be with you all. Why don't I pray as we begin? Father, thank you so much for your living and active word. Please would you strengthen us today by that word and show us more of the glory of Christ. In his name we ask. Amen. Well, being a true Hong Konger, I love a good hike. And one of the most epic hikes in history was the race to reach the South Pole first. You may have heard of the story. In 1911, British explorer Robert Falcon Scott and his team set out on their grueling journey of nearly 3,000 kilometers, battling temperatures of minus 40 degrees Celsius, blizzards, frostbite, and just the mental endurance of trekking through a massive ice desert for nearly 5 months, and all without Google Maps. But despite their courage and their grit, sadly, they were defeated not only by Roald Amundsen, the Norwegian explorer who got to the South Pole first. They were ultimately defeated by starvation and exhaustion and the bitter cold, as they didn't have the resources to make it back home. And their bodies were discovered just 20 kilometers away from the next supply station. It was a story of heroic endurance, but also a story of failing to finish. And sometimes it can feel similar in the Christian life, can't it? And we feel exhausted and defeated, lacking in motivation, lacking in resources to keep following Jesus. Perhaps it's been an especially busy and difficult year for us. Perhaps it's been an emotionally draining year. Perhaps there's been disappointment and discouragement. I'm chatting to a few of us here. I know there's been many challenges in recent months, and especially as we look at the news around the world. And as disappointment and disillusionment creep in, there might be temptation to step back, to just ease off the gas in our Christian life. 2 years ago, we had a few gap year students from the UK who came to our church in Sydney to work as ministry trainees. And sadly, I recently heard the news that one of them had gone to uni and sadly had stopped following Jesus. He said he knows that Christianity is true and that he can always just come back to it later on. But for now, he just wants to enjoy uni life. Now, I'm sure we all have friends or family who have similarly drifted away from Jesus. But more concerning is the drift we often feel in our own hearts. We've all been through seasons, haven't we, where we've grown sluggish in our Christian walk. Church feels like more of a struggle. Reading the Bible and prayer feel less intimate. Evangelism feels less urgent. And the world just seems more and more attractive. And so the burning question, as the days and years pass by, is how can we make it to the end? How can we hold on until the finish line? That's the big question that the book of Hebrews raises. It's kind of a sermon in the form of a letter written to Christians who were tempted to turn back, written to believers who were tempted to ditch following Jesus. They were living under first century Roman rule, and it was hard being a Christian. Like us today, it was way easier to just go with the flow and live like the world around them. And back then, to confess Christ as Lord meant suffering verbal abuse or even having your property taken away from you or even being imprisoned. And so throughout this letter, the author warns his readers not to drift from Jesus, not to be sluggish, not to fall away, not to shrink back, but to endure to the very end. And so Hebrews is written to assure us that in Jesus, we really do have all the resources to make it home, to make it to the end, to stand firm against the drift in our own hearts that tries to draw us away from Jesus. And so our big point today, as you can see on your handouts, is that in Jesus, our great high priest, we do have sufficient resources to make it to the end. In Jesus, our great high priest, we have sufficient resources to make it to the end. Have a look at verse 19 if you've got your Bibles open. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The author sums up what we've seen so far in the book of Hebrews, and to understand that, we need to do some time traveling to the book of Leviticus. Now, famously, I guess it's the graveyard slot of all Bible reading plans, and if your New Year's resolution is to read through the Bible in a year, that would be a great idea, but I encourage you, don't give up on Leviticus when you get there, because it is an immensely important book, and particularly for understanding the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Leviticus was written to address the question, how can sinful people possibly live with a holy God? How can unclean sinners possibly dwell in the presence of a perfect, sinless God without being utterly consumed? In other words, how can humanity get back to the Garden of Eden to enjoy perfect fellowship with God? Now, the first answer to that problem was the tabernacle. If you've read the book of Exodus, you'll be familiar with this big tent that God had commanded Moses to build. It was basically a portable house for God to live with his people as they traveled through the wilderness. And this tabernacle had three main parts to it. If there's a picture coming up, there was the courtyard, the holy place, and the most holy place. Or you could think of it like the front garden, the downstairs lounge, and the upstairs master bedroom. And normally the people of Israel would only be allowed to enter the courtyard to bring their sacrifices, which the priests would offer and sacrifice. And now the priests were kind of the representatives of the people before God. They were the go-betweens, the mediators, the bridge between God and the people. And only the priests would be allowed to enter the holy place, the actual house of God. And only once a year could the high priest, so the kind of president of the priest, only he could enter once a year into the most intimate part of God's house, the most holy place, God's bedroom, if you like, to offer sacrifices for all the people there. And so throughout the entire Old Testament, it was very clear that there was this barrier between God and man, which required this whole system of priests and sacrifices in order to bridge that gap. But the glorious truth of the gospel is that when Jesus came, Jesus died, the curtain between the holy place and the most holy place was literally torn apart, symbolizing the greater truth that the way to God is now open between God and man. Jesus dies the death. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, and he is the ultimate high priest who offers the sacrifice of himself, taking the sin that we deserved on himself and opening up the way to God. That is the good news of Christmas. If you're here and you've never been to church, if you've never heard of the gospel, this is the only hope for humanity, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to open up the way to God, that we can be friends with God again. Jesus has washed us clean and given us his perfect clean clothes, as it were, his perfect life, so that we are now holy, we are pure, and we can have access to God. And so verse 19, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, we have confidence now to enter the holy places, to access God's bedroom, as it were, through the blood of Jesus. I was up in Beijing a few weeks ago to see some friends, and I had the privilege of visiting the Forbidden City. It was a vast complex of extravagant wooden palaces and alleyways and gates. And this massive place housed the emperors of China in the Ming and Qing dynasties over a span of more than 500 years. It was quite a spectacle. All the names of the buildings were very grand. Some of my favorite ones were the Gate of Divine Might and the Palace of Heavenly Purity. And it would have been quite a good place to play tag or sardines, I was thinking, but it would probably have taken a few days. It was quite the experience as well just to be able to roam around a place where once only the imperial family could walk. And what was once the center of political power in China, strictly forbidden to the public, was now freely accessible, though at the cost of 40 yuan. But far more incredible for the Christian believer is the privilege of accessing God's house, God's personal space, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can keep drawing near to God with confidence. And we can keep drawing near to God with confidence. Because of Jesus, we're no longer stuck in the front garden, as it were, but we can go into God's house upstairs to the master bedroom, which sounds weird, I know, but the point is, wherever we are, whenever we are in need, we can call down help from heaven through our great high priest. And we can do this with a sincere heart, with full assurance, verse 22, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And by his Spirit, God has given us a new heart, which can believe, which can persevere, unlike the Israelites back then who had hard and unbelieving hearts. This is the superior upgrade that every New Testament believer has. Because under the new covenant, under this new relationship with God through Jesus, God's Spirit transforms our stony hearts into soft hearts, which can trust God, which can persevere to the end. And so we can draw near with great confidence. We can make it to the end by drawing upon the rich resources we have in the Lord Jesus, by trusting his precious blood. And verse 21, trusting his ongoing priestly work on our behalf. The Old Testament priests went in and out of the tabernacle every day, offering sacrifices to maintain a constant relationship with God on behalf of the people. But the problem was, these priests were only human. They were only mortal, and they died. Whereas Jesus is our great high priest. He has risen from the dead and so can never die. And so Jesus is not twiddling his thumbs in heaven, but in chapter 7 of Hebrews, the author says Jesus is always, he always lives to intercede for us. He constantly prays for us and helps us in our weakness. And so externally, Jesus has opened up the way to God by his death. And internally, he has given us, he has transformed our evil, unbelieving hearts. And so with such rich resources in Jesus, how can we give up? Have a look again at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Perhaps it is our sin and our guilt which make us sluggish in our Christian walk, or when the pressure at work or at school feels all-consuming, we may resent taking up the cross. or when the pull of the world feels so attractive, we may wonder, can't I just take a small break from following Jesus, just for a second? We may feel tired of fighting sin, tired of constantly denying self, tired of walking the way of holiness. And we may wonder, why carry on when I've already failed so many times? Why not spare myself the pain and just give up already? But brothers and sisters, that is the devil whispering in our ears. He wants to trap us in our guilt and pull us off course. But praise God, we have a great high priest who has washed us clean by his blood, who has cleansed us from all guilt once for all time. A great high priest who can never die, who is at God's right hand, who lives to intercede for us. And so neither the sins we have committed in the past nor the sins we have yet to commit can block us making it to the end. And so we can sing, as we did earlier, with great confidence, those beautiful words, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me." In Jesus, our great high priest, we can make it to the end, because through him we can keep drawing near to God with great confidence. Our sin and our guilt cannot stop us from making it to the end. But secondly, in Jesus, we can keep persevering alongside our brothers and sisters. We can keep persevering alongside our brothers and sisters. In a strange way, a Christian has arrived, and yet there is still a way to go. We already have access to God, but there is still a race to run. We can draw near to God vertically, but horizontally there is still time. There is still a race to be run. There is time before Jesus returns, time to live for him, time to wait for him faithfully. And so we must press on till the finish line. Have a look again at verse 23. Verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Our great high priest has promised to take us to be with him one day, and so we can press on. We can hold on to this hope. But pressing on isn't a solo race, but it's a team event. Have a look at verse 24. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We don't know exactly why some believers stopped meeting back then. It may have been because of persecution or apathy. But either way, it seems that the author connects meeting together with the ability to persevere till the last day. Did you see that at the end of verse 25? We need this one another encouragement. All the more as you see the day approaching. The day referring to Jesus' return. It is as the church gathers around God's word and encourages each other with God's word, and that is the way we will make it together to the finish line. I was chatting to a friend who is a pastor in a nearby city, and it was very clear as we were chatting that there was an air of uncertainty hanging over their church gatherings, especially with some tighter regulations being introduced soon. And as we were chatting, it was a healthy challenge and rebuke to myself, because I don't really think twice about being able to gather on a Sunday. Now, being in Hong Kong, I guess we don't really know what the future will bring. But actually, we've all already experienced the pain of not being able to gather with COVID lockdowns. But we've also experienced the subsequent joy of being able to gather again when the restrictions were lifted. We all know how precious it is to be able to gather. But how easily we also forget the joy of doing that. And so God has designed the church to be the means by which we keep going in the Christian life. And what is the secret to Christian endurance? Well, it is not a self-help book. or even doing our quiet times, as good as those things may be. But all through the Bible, we see that God's appointed means of perseverance is meeting with fellow believers to spur each other on. And that's true whether you've been a believer for 3 years or 30 years. We must persevere by sticking with God's people. Because if we don't, the danger is not fewer seats filled, but falling away from Jesus. The danger is not a slower time in the race, but a disqualification. And so when the going gets tough, we must remember that in Jesus we have everything we need to make it to the end. Most of the Israelites back then in the wilderness generation failed to make it to the promised land because they had hard hearts which failed to believe in God's promises. But praise God, the new covenant Christian believer has far more. We have all the resources needed in Jesus to make it home. The Lord Jesus has died to wash us clean from all of our guilt and sin, and he has opened up the way to God. He has given us a new heart which can trust and obey God, which can persevere in faith. He has risen and ascended and sits at God's right hand where he still intercedes for us today. And he has given us a new family, a fellow pilgrims who can spur us on in the Christian race. And so with so much fuel in the tank, of course, we can make it to the end. But you might wonder, doesn't this sound a bit legalistic? Doesn't it sound like it all depends on us just to persevere? Doesn't it sound like it just depends on our own hard effort to get to the end? Well, we must be clear. We are never saved by our own efforts. Because we are already saved by the Lord Jesus and his grace alone. But it is because we are already saved that we can press on till the end. God gives us the resources, and he actively sustains us each day to help us to get to the end. And so, yes, we do genuinely have to persevere, but ultimately it is God's work in us, helping us, sustaining us to the end through our perseverance. This year at Bible College, it's been great to study the English Reformation in our church history lectures. This was in the 16th century when key leaders in the Church of England fought against the heresies of the Roman Catholic Church. One of them was a guy called Thomas Cranmer. You may have heard of him. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury back then, and he played a key role in opposing the Catholic Queen of England, Queen Mary, or more popularly known as Bloody Mary, because of all the Protestants she burned. And so Mary had Thomas Cranmer locked up in prison for 2.5 years. He was around 66 years old, in ill health, and Queen Mary was determined to break down his resistance. She sent a load of Catholic scholars to debate with him in prison, and eventually, isolated from his friends, Cranmer sadly broke down, and he signed a letter renouncing his faith and embracing Roman Catholic doctrine. And so it seemed that this giant of the faith had fallen away from Jesus. But thankfully, when it came to his final public announcement, he went off script and renounced his previous renouncements and embraced the true faith again. And for that, he was burned at the stake at the age of 66, holding his right hand out to burn first, saying, "This hand has offended," the hand which had signed the initial recantation. It's a wonderful example of God's sustaining grace, that even despite a major stumble, God sustained Cranmer's faith to the very end, enabling him to endure and proclaim Christ till his last breath. Now, we may not be martyrs like Cranmer, but even his story shows that you don't need to be some sort of elite Christian to make it to the end. If we're trusting in Christ, as weak as we are, we do have enough resources to get to the end. So how can we make it to the end? Well, we must look And we must look again at the abundant resources we have in Jesus, our great high priest. We must consider Christ in all his riches. He hasn't just done something for us in the past, but daily there are untapped resources in Christ waiting to assist us, waiting to strengthen us in the Christian race. He is an inexhaustible fountain of help for the weary saints. And so as we stand at the end of another year, perhaps feeling gassed out, perhaps feeling that we're running on an empty tank, let's be assured that God has not left us without help, without resources. But in Christ, we really do have all the resources needed to get home. And so let's keep drawing near to God with confidence. Let's keep running the race with perseverance alongside each other, and all the more as the last day approaches. At the end of chapter 10, verse 39, the author encourages us, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." We are not people who shrink back from Jesus. That is not who we are. But we are those who press on till the very end, because we have all the resources we need in Jesus to get there. Have a look at verse 19 again. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray together. Father, thank you that in Jesus we do have every resource needed to make it to the end. Thank you for his precious blood in opening up the way to you. Thank you for his high priestly work in interceding for us. And thank you so much for the gift of your Spirit and a new heart which can believe and persevere. Father, would you protect us from the drift in our own hearts? Protect us from the allure of the world, the pressure to turn back from following Jesus. Please help us to keep persevering in the new year, whatever that brings, to keep drawing near to you through Christ, to keep persevering alongside each other, not neglecting to meet together, but spurring each other on to love and good works, and all the more as we approach that final day. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.